Welcome to Petersham Baptist Church. I will invite you to come and find a seat. My name is Tim. I'm the pastor here. A special welcome to you this morning. Well, it's a rather momentous morning in some ways here at PBC. It's wonderful to have friends in the flesh, to have Mike and Fee and family here with us. And great, of course, to have the Pims here for their first Sunday. Of course, we don't thank luck in these circumstances. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. That Father has been at work in our lives, and we can be completely confident that Father will fulfil every good promise that He has made, because He does not change like shifting shadows. And so to begin this morning, let's stop and pray together. Heavenly Father, we read in your word that blessed are those who trust in you and do not look to the proud or turn aside to false gods. So help us, we pray, to trust you. Would you please help our wandering hearts and help our times of unbelief? Many, Lord, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were we to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. So we marvel that you would have mercy on us sinners and would even send your Son for us rebels. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but our ears you have opened. Your law is within our hearts by your Spirit. So please help us this day to proclaim your saving acts in the assembly. Open our lips, Lord, that we might speak of your faithfulness and your saving help, your love and your goodness, all of which we have abundantly seen in Christ our Lord, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, my name's Kenny, and I'll be doing the Bible reading this morning. So if we could just turn to Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, and so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy,
fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they alone can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God.
Let's pray together as we start this new series. Gracious Father, thank you for the way in which you keep answering our prayers. And so we ask this morning that you would speak to our hearts and minds. Please convict us and change us where we need convicting and changing. And we thank you that your Spirit is at work within us. Amen. Many times in Christian churches, I've heard the pastor say to God, "All your actions show your wisdom and love." Each time I reach in vain for the courage to rise and shout, that's a lie. Again, Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, "In all things God works for the good of those who love him." When was that? I missed it. So writes Annie Dillard, describing the jarring things you might hear in church on any given Sunday. Dillard has a faith of sorts, but she's clearly protesting to God. She writes that you need a crash helmet for when you go to church and you hear these messages that just jar so much with the world around you. When we say, let alone sing, that God is in control and yet Orlando happens. When we stand to affirm that God is in control, even sing about it, and yet millions of people have to leave their country and become refugees. These events may cause you to doubt. These events may cause you to want to protest against God. They may be your questions as well. Where is God in this? What is God doing? The problems within the world make a series about how God is transforming us by his Spirit may look a bit petty by comparison. But these two worlds, what's happening within us by God's Spirit and what's happening in our world, are not as distinct as we might first think. So in beginning this new series called Keeping in Step with the Spirit, thinking about how God's transforming us by his Spirit, I want to place what God is doing within us within the bigger picture of what he's doing within his world, and set the scene. We just looked at that famous passage in Galatians 5, where we read about the fruit of the Spirit and hear the call that if we live by the Spirit, then we must keep in step with the Spirit. And maybe you learnt by heart that passage about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness and self-control. So what I want to do this morning in placing this passage and what God's doing within us within the bigger picture of what God's doing in the world, I want us all to see that God's Spirit is not just polishing us up to make us nicer people, but doing something quite profound that fits in what God is doing in the whole world. The first point I want to make is that the Spirit brings life, much needed life. Because the alternative to living by the Spirit, as we've just read, is living according to the flesh. So verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. John Stott says of this list that what is in common is that all these things, all these acts are either a defiant step against God or a defiance against the neighbour. Jesus said everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So more than the individual acts that come to the surface, there's a condition within of slavery. We find ourselves captivated to created things and enslaved by them. This is the path we've all chosen when we've turned away from God. as we devote ourselves to other things, sinning is the inevitable consequence. We sin because deep down we're rebels. And now this slavery to sin explains our world. The selfishness, the pain, the inequality, the oppression, the lack of justice, it's all because people are living out their days in the flesh. Failing to sense the true meaning and purpose of the world and instead responding selfishly or superficially to others and the Creator. This is what Paul terms earlier in the letter of Galatians, this present evil age. Humanity in rebellion. Humanity dead in sin. The Creator has purposes for his creation, and yet his creatures do not want nor care to know what they are. And yet God, in his mercy and grace, promises salvation in the gospel. The gospel offers salvation from the present evil age. It offers salvation from ourselves. It offers salvation from the consequences of our sin. And this gospel promises the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit will bring new hearts and bring about a new birth so that we might walk in newness of life. So the gospel offers more than just life after death. God is very much concerned with our lives before we die. This good news was God's plan to overcome the pain within our world, and it was announced in advance to Abraham that through Abraham all nations will be blessed. Through Abraham's family, the people of Israel, blessing will come to a world that knows all too well pain and inequality and oppression and lack of justice, and sees all too frequently the fruit of the flesh. Israel would be that blessing to the nations if they could be God's holy people. But of course they failed. But where they failed, Christ succeeded. And it's Christ who brings the blessing to God's people and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit brings life by dwelling within the believer and connecting us to Jesus and all that he's accomplished. And so whatever you were, you were washed and justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So to set the scene, the Spirit brings life to a world that knows death and sin, that lives out its days in the flesh. The Spirit brings life. The second thing I want to point out is that the Spirit brings purpose. Throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit brings purpose to the people of God. Not a wishy-washy purpose. God, in his kindness and mercy, saves his people out of Egypt for a purpose within his world. The prophet Isaiah speaks of God's kindness to Israel. I will tell the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he has to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he's done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindness. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me, and so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who sent his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown? Who led them through the depths like a horse in open country. They did not stumble like cattle that go down to the plain. They were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. The kindness and good things that the Lord did for Israel was to save them from slavery, to choose this people out of all the nations to be his special people, to dwell amongst them and to give them rest and to guide them by his Spirit. But lest we think the Spirit just gives general guidance, along the way, it's important to see the Spirit directs and guides God's people for a particular purpose, for a desired result, that God's people would be guided by the Spirit so that, verse 14, the Lord's name would be glorified. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God's Spirit direct God's people to be who God wanted them to be, to be that holy nation that draws the other nations to the one true God. So whether it's the prophets who were led by the Spirit to challenge the people about this, or whether it was the scriptures that were inspired by the Holy Spirit that reminded God's people of this purpose, or whether it was the individuals along the way who were equipped by the Spirit to lead or rule or defeat their enemies or construct the temple, all the way along the Spirit is directing and enabling God's people to be who God wanted them to be, a holy priesthood and a royal nation, so as to win the nations to the one true God and bring blessing to the ends of the earth. Where Israel failed, there was another servant, the Lord Jesus. The Spirit was placed on him and he succeeded. He is the servant that restores the tribes of Israel and brings blessing, much needed blessing, to the ends of the earth. And so we read in Galatians of how Christ did this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, to the nations, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, this is why Paul can say to the Galatians, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so we look with certain hope to a new creation where God's dwelling will be with men and women, and he'll dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We wait for that day with great confidence, for even now God dwells with his people by the Spirit. We saw this in 1 Corinthians. And also we can see it in Ephesians. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. And also Ephesians, that when you believed in the gospel, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. The Spirit brings life to those who are dead in sin. And the Spirit brings purpose, including God's people, in God's plans for his world. And I think it's really important to keep this in mind. Lest we think, like I said before, we think that the Spirit's job is just to make us, polish us up and make us nicer people. The Spirit brings life to the dead. It antagonizes the sin that remains within. It renews our minds. It helps us to be less like me and more like Christ. This is the work we're going to see in this series, Keeping in Step with the Spirit. That God is doing a work within us to make us more like Christ by his Spirit. Becoming more like Christ is not a burden that we bear alone, but a gracious work that God is doing within us that we can cooperate with. The Spirit is directing and enabling God's people to be who God wants them to be, a holy people, a royal nation, so as to win the nations to the one true God and bring blessing to the ends of the earth. God is doing far more within you than just making you a nicer Christian. God is rather making us better ambassadors as we reflect the transforming power of the gospel we preach. We who were once the mission field have become ambassadors of the transforming power of the gospel. Since we live by the Spirit, since we've been given life by this Spirit, we must keep in step with this Spirit. Let us keep in step with what God is doing within his world, a work that's progressing towards a new creation where all things are under Christ.
So let's ask ourselves, just at the start of this series, are you or am I in step with that spirit? Whether it's the monotony of life as we just follow rhythms and routines, or the sheer busyness of life, any one of us could lose sight of what God is doing by His Spirit, of what God is doing in this world. And whenever we lose sight, we invariably lose our way. We might struggle from time to time with the atrocities that we see flashed up on our news screens. But if we think, if underneath the reason why we struggle with this is underneath we think it's God's job to keep people's lives free from trouble, then we need to be reminded of the gospel. We must not just project upon God the living standards of Western affluent societies like us and think, come on, God, do your end of the bargain. Keep people's living standards high. That's not the gospel that we hold dear. To keep in step with the Spirit is to remember what God is doing in this world. God is transforming a people who have a mission to their world. God's people are now sent out into every sphere of life, not just as good people, but as people with good news and compelling evidence within their lives that this news brings freedom and change and transformation. Today we just want to remember that story. Amidst all the noise of our lives and the never-ending to-do list, just to stop and remember that God is indeed at work, saving and transforming and giving a purpose to a people within a world that desperately needs to know Him. Are you, am I, in step with that Spirit? Let's ask God to help us that through this series we'll be encouraged and we'll encourage one another to keep in step with this gracious work that God is doing within us for the sake of our own growth to be more like Christ, but also for the sake of the world that desperately needs Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work that You've done within our lives. We thank You for those who told the gospel to us. We thank You that Your Spirit made that message compelling to us and that You have begun a good work in us and will see it to completion. Father, we ask that Your kingdom would come. Would You please draw more people to find salvation in Your Son? Would You please raise up more workers for the harvest field, that there be many on that last day to praise Your Son in a new creation. There's no more sin or death or suffering. Would You open doors for our conversations with our friends and work friends, family members and neighbours? Would You please use us, Father, to be ambassadors of the wonderful news of Jesus? And Father, we're mindful at this time of the many Muslim people who, for them, this is a significant time. We ask that You might break through to them, that the light of the gospel would shine clearly to them, and that You would draw people to find the one true God and find salvation in Your Son. And we ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.